The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all your people's hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Teach us to love and be loved by you. Amen. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit. We talked last week about how fruit of the Spirit means the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit, the fruit that the Spirit has and gives us to bear. This is the fruit that the Spirit produces, not the fruit that you or even we produce. The Spirit produces the fruit. The image Jesus uses in John is of a tree and branches. He says this in John 15, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains in me and I in them, they will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." If you remain in me, Jesus says, you will bear much fruit. If you stay connected to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will fill you with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love is the first and greatest fruit. And what empowers us to love others is the love that Christ has for us. Paul said three chapters prior in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So the Holy Spirit pours a whole bouquet of fruit into our lives, starting with love. Romans 5:5 uses that language of pouring out. It's a generous, limitless gift. It says, "Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." God's love was so great for us that he sent his son Jesus into the world on a rescue mission to bring us back to God. Before we go any further, I want to invite you to take 2 minutes to consider this question. Jesus says, "Remain in me to bear much fruit." What helps you remain in Jesus and his love? In other words, what or who keeps you connected to the vine? As always, I wish I could hear your answers. Please do feel free to get in touch with me this week to share what helps you stay connected to Jesus, especially in these challenging days. I'd love to hear from you. What is love? Paul paints a beautiful picture in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Here is what love is, Paul says, patient, kind, not proud. Here's what love does do and does not do. It does not envy. It does not boast. It does not delight in evil. It perseveres. And here Paul names love as the first fruit of the Spirit. This matches what he wrote to the Christians in Colossae 2. This theme comes up all throughout Paul's letters. Listen to this section of Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. As a prominent dictionary of New Testament Greek gives us, we can understand Paul's word for love, agape, as the quality of warm regard for and interest in another, esteem, affection, regard, love. To love, as another dictionary puts it, means to value, to set great store by, to hold in high esteem. It is a love with deep respect, which often goes along with admiration and can become adoration. This esteem and goodwill tend to be expressed in appropriate words and deeds. It can be challenging to practice this kind of love. We might rather be self-seeking or allow ourselves to become easily angered or to keep a record of wrongs. We might delight in evil or at least wink at it. We might fail to rejoice with the truth. We might hide from the truth. Paul's love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 is so beautiful and it feels so hard to pull off. But remember, the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that comes from the Spirit. It's the fruit and the love that is poured out into our hearts, poured out in such great measure that there's plenty left to overflow from our lives into the lives of others. Of our own accord, we may not always love like Paul calls us to love, but in the power of the Holy Spirit remaining connected in God, we can love like God does. The love that we receive, the love that we love with, it comes from the Holy Spirit, an endless store that we can always return to for more. We know how to love because of the love of God shown to us. My earliest church memory is as a four-year-old. My dad was the pastor of Germantown Brick Church of the Brethren in Rocky Mount, Virginia. We decided that we were going to sing a duet together, about which I was very nervous. Here's a picture of the sanctuary, by the way. I don't think they've changed it very much in the 30 or so years since that happened. But the question that my dad asked me in song was, Abram, do you love Jesus? Oh, yes, I love Jesus. Do you really love Jesus? Yes, I really love Jesus. Tell us why you love Jesus. This is all singing. This is why I love Jesus, because he first loved me. And then we sang together, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. I'm not as nervous singing that to you anymore. We love, John says, because he first loved us. I love Jesus because he first loved me. That's the reason I could even love in the first place. I'm grateful to have had that message preached to me at such an early age. I want to keep coming back to the truth that the source of my love is the love of Jesus. This is why I love Jesus, because he first loved me. I'm going to invite you again to take a couple of minutes to consider these questions. What is your earliest church memory? And why do you love Jesus? We love because he first loved us. Why else Do we love Jesus? Typically, I would conclude a sermon about love with a call or an exhortation to get on our knees and love God and roll up our sleeves and love our neighbor. These are the two greatest commandments after all, and therefore our greatest duties on earth. I believe that. I trust that you do too. But as I prepared and prayed over this message this week, I found myself compelled to invite you to reflect on love in a different way. Fuller Seminary administrator and leadership guru Todd Bolsinger writes about a dinner he once attended where a Catholic nun was the speaker. Now, he says it wasn't unusual to be at a dinner where a Catholic nun was the speaker, except that this was a bunch of triathletes at Ironman Canada in 2006. Sister Madonna Buder was there as a fellow competitor. Her nickname is Iron Nun, and in 2012, she became the oldest person ever at the age of 82 to complete the Ironman triathlon. If you're not familiar with the Ironman triathlon, it's 2.4 miles of swimming, 112 miles of biking, and a marathon, 26.2 miles, all strung together. 82 years old, and Iron Nun pulled it off. Bolsinger says that her message on the eve of the 2006 Ironman was a simple one. Here's what she said. Tomorrow, when things get tough out there, remember you were loved into existence. If you get discouraged and want to quit, if you get injured and can't finish, if things don't go the way you hope, even though you have trained for this day for months or even years, even then, remember, you were loved into existence. Before you did anything, before you were even born and anybody had an inkling of what you might be like, you were loved into existence. As another pastor puts it, God loved you before you even lifted a finger. God's love for us is an action. God gave himself and continues to give himself to you. God is patient and practices kindness with you more than we warrant. God keeps no record of wrongs and forgives us our trespasses. God's love is an action, and there's a powerful emotional component to God's love. God adores you. Well, I'm not adorable, you might say. Yes, you are. You are adorable. God adores you. Your loving God admires you. God delights in you. You make God happy just by being you, just by existing. Imagine how you felt as a kid when you watched Mr. Rogers, or still feel today as you watch Mr. Rogers. That is some good pandemic television, by the way. Mr. Rogers knew how to make the person on the other side of that screen feel special because he was full of the love of God himself, and that love overflowed. Now take that feeling of being loved by Mr. Rogers and multiply it by infinity, because unlike Fred Rogers, God knows you personally. And God's love for you is endless. God has no limitations. God's love never runs out. The love of Jesus never fails. There's more than enough to go all the way around and then some. God loved you into existence and continues to love you into existence. And on days when existing is hard, God loves you into existence even more. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that love of God has been poured out into our hearts. So friends, receive God's love. Receive the powerful love of our doting God. I encourage you to spend some time this week remembering that God adores you. God delights in you. God thinks you're amazing. God loves to be with you. God thinks about you. God finds you beautiful in every way and smiles over you. Whatever happens in the election Tuesday and the days following it, this is a big week and a big month. So don't go through it alone. Don't even try to white knuckle it. Remind yourself that Jesus loves you and walks with you. Read 1 John 4 over and over again to remember God's love. Remind yourself that even as you seek to love your neighbor, you have neighbors in your life, including many in this church, who love you and want your well-being. So reach out this week to someone that you know loves you. Love Jesus and love Jesus deeply because he first loved you. And Jesus still loves you. And Jesus will always love you. So receive his love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.